I'm not sure everyone is aware of the biggest difference between Target and Walmart. I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but the simple truth is that Target attracts a better quality of customers. I would never work the late shift at Walmart. The conditions at Target, however, have always felt safe and secure. Because I'm small and I'm female, at closing time, my normal duties include restocking all the discarded garments in the fitting rooms. The place is usually a horror show. I can only imagine what Walmart must look like. I just started to rehang everything when I was summoned up to checkout. Their normal closing cashier had a family emergency, and they needed me to work the trenches. I wish I ignored their summons. Even at Target, the last customers are either night owls or freak shows. At first glance, the guy looked like a night owl. Long hair, mid-30s, some colorful ink. He was buying a 50-gallon plastic storage bin. But when he took off the lid, revealing the other purchases he'd stowed away inside, sirens began ringing in my head. 12-pack of extra-strength duct tape, 20-ounce steel rib hammer, 6-piece set of pliers, 9-inch tapered fillet knife, 20-volt cordless reciprocating saw, a half dozen 32-ounce bottles of sulfuric acid, 10-pack of clear plastic tarps. While I was ringing him up, my eyes kept wavering between the toolkit of torture devices and the tattoos on his forearm. He had lots of tribal designs and alpha male images, like wrapped around elk horns and barbed wire strips. But the one image that really grabbed me by the nose hairs was a great white shark head clamped onto a Winnie the Pooh bear that was bleeding puffs of stuffing from all the shark tooth punctures. I kept my face down, eyes on my own business. If I didn't raise his antenna, maybe we could both just pretend he wasn't prepping for a spree of murder and dismemberment. But then he spoke.
"I've got a home improvement job this weekend."
He had a squeaky voice with a slight lisp, like a cartoon cat or bird.
"My old lady is always nagging me to get the basement finished. Are you someone's old lady?"
No.
"You live alone?"
"Just me and my 3 German shepherds." Another customer entered my aisle, pushing a cart with a baby carrier mounted in the child's seat. I could hear the baby cooing. The woman watched as I finally finished scanning the sociopath's purchases, replacing them all back inside a storage bin. I noticed that her antenna was buzzing, eyes big as saucers. "Your total is $336.14. He whipped out a wad of bills and peeled out some 50s. As I finished the transaction and handed him the change, he turned his attention to the young mother.
"Can I see the baby?"
She whispered, "Of course," and tried putting on a polite smile, but her lips were trembling as she pivoted the baby carrier so that he could put eyes on her beloved. The baby was no more than a few months old, had bright blue eyes, and seemed focused on the creation of spit bubbles.
"Boy or girl?"
the sociopath asked.
Girl.
"What's her name?"
The new mother hesitated.
"Sarah."
The sociopath took the baby's hand and wiggled it. The mother and I watched the sordid handshake with matching distress.
"Well, you both have a blessed night."
He grabbed his bin of horrors and ambled out the doors. The mother immediately began wiping down her baby's hand with an antibacterial towel. "I've never seen him around here." Her eyes darted between the doors and her baby.
"Neither have I.
Hopefully he's just passing through." I rang up her box of Pampers and bottle of Pinot Noir. "I'm going to be drinking that whole bottle tonight." She paid, and I bagged up the bottle.
"I was wondering."
Her eyes kept moving between the doors and her baby, then to me.
"Would you mind having someone walk us to our car?"
Under normal circumstances, I would have walked her out myself, but I didn't feel any more capable of fending off a sociopath than she did. I scanned the store, but nobody else was around.
red-vested or otherwise. I can try to get somebody. I looked around, searching for the nearest public address station. I think my uncertainty must have been obvious because the mother just put on a false smile of reassurance. No need to bother. He's probably gone by now. Well, I don't have any other customers at the moment. I made a last desperate scan of the checkout area. I'd be happy to walk you out to your car. I logged out of my register, noting the young mother's look of gratitude. We started walking towards the glass doors. How old is Sarah? Just under a year. Well, she's beautiful. Just like an angel. You haven't been awakened from dead sleep by her crying. Not much of an angel at 3 a.m. feedings. I guess not. That doesn't sound angelic. We exited the store and made a long scan of the parking lot. There weren't any panel vans or monster trucks. The sociopath had apparently vamoosed. I'm over there. The Honda. We rolled the cart back to her hatchback. Sarah making gurgles and gibberish. The mother used her fob to pop open her hatchback, and I loaded her stuff inside as she got her baby carrier situated in the back seat. As she opened the driver's door, she handed me a $20 bill. Thank you so much for the escort. I feel kind of foolish. Oh, no need. I waved the money. Sociopathic killers are downright scary, especially ones with the voices of Tweety Bird.
You got that right, sweet cheeks.
Came the squeaky and lisping voice from behind as my head got smashed against the doorframe. I went limp and dazed, warm blood cascading down my forehead as my mouth and hands got bound and folded and stuffed in the back alongside the Pampers and wine. Then, the sociopath loaded his plastic bin. He slammed the hatchback and got in the front passenger seat.
Did she really say I have a Tweety Bird voice?
The young mother started the engine. Let's discuss how your old lady is always nagging you to get the basement finished.
Uh-oh. I'm going to pay for that one, aren't I?
Well, somebody's going to pay for that. They both laughed. The baby cried. The car started to move. Luckily, someone up above must have been looking out for me, because I could see daylight under the hatchback. It hadn't fully latched. A high-speed ejection with hands both bound was an idea. My best shot was to wait until we slowed to a populated area, then log roll onto the door and drop onto the pavement. That was my plan, but if it didn't succeed, if I didn't kill myself first, this killer clan would dismember me slow and keep me in fleshy ribbons for days.
Working retail is always challenging. There's the old adage that the customer is always right. If that were true, I don't think stores would have policies, rules, or even prices. The simple fact is that the customer isn't always right. In fact, sometimes they're complete assholes. This became abundantly clear during the pandemic. Shortly before COVID-19 necessitated restrictions, I was promoted to floor manager at the local Target. Let me preface this by saying that overall, most of our customers were very accommodating with our mandatory mask requirement. They saw all the employees wearing them as well and saw them as a sign of solidarity. However, we managed to have a few Karens and Kens enter the store. Some cited their reasons for not wanting to wear a mask as medical and others because of constitutional freedoms, but most often shouted both reasons. They made a scene, and while they didn't leave quietly, they all eventually left peacefully. Until that day. The store had only been open for a couple of hours. I was making my rounds doing inventory checks for the following order. I walked by the hardware department, did a quick glance, then doubled back. Sure enough, there was a man without a mask perusing the various tools. I sighed and took a moment to hide my frustration. Technically, it was the door greeter's responsibility to flag people down at the entrance and tell them our policy. Unfortunately, most of these jobs went to our elderly employees. More than a few were sympathetic to the anti-maskers' plight. But since they were on a fixed budget, it was hard to read them the riot act, and some people still slipped through the cracks. Taking a deep breath, I buried my frustration and put on my fake smile. My mask covered it, but it was so ingrained after years of working in retail that it formed on reflex. As I walked closer to the man, he came into greater detail. He wore ripped and faded jeans and a button-up flannel shirt, the standard get-up for most of our blue-collar customers. But as he stood up, I braced myself. He was a towering man, over 6 feet tall and twice as wide as me. Though he had a beer gut that was testing the limits of his belt, his arms rippled with muscles that must have been from a very hands-on job. But I remembered all the other alterations. While they were unpleasant, none of the customers were violent, so I found my nerve and walked up to him. "Excuse me, sir." He glanced up at me, his eyes beady above a bushy beard.
"Yeah, buddy. You got any carpenter screws? Boss's dipshit son tried to put something together using regular ones. Affirmative action, am I right?"
I frowned, thankful that my mask concealed my sudden irritation. "I think that's nepotism, actually."
"Nepo what?"
Instantly, his smile shifted into an annoyed scowl.
"Look, college boy, don't flap your gums at me because you know some 10-buck words. You got the goddamn screws or not?"
I took a deep breath, remembering the script from my training. "Sir, I'll be more than happy to look for the items you want as soon as you put on a mask." Red crept up his neck and slowly worked its way up his face.
"Just give me the goddamn screws and I'll be out of here in a minute. Then you can go back to being Target's Fidel."
"Sir?" I tried to remain calm, but I could hear the irritation in my voice. "It doesn't matter how long you spend in the store. You must wear a mask when you step inside or you'll have to leave."
His nostrils flared as he brandished his arms wildly. "What is this? Soviet Russia? Last time I checked, I live in the good old US of A. And guess what? America's the land of the free. And if you don't like it, you go back to whatever country you came from."
"That would be this one, the same as you." Even though he was bigger than me, I took comfort in the walkie-talkie at my belt, which I unclipped. "And if you respect freedoms, you should know that Target is a privately held company. As such, we can deny service to anyone not following state or company policy. Now put on a mask, or I will call security and have you escorted off our property."
The red spread up to his forehead.
He stood huffing and puffing before letting out a long breath. He placed himself between me and the tools, then put a beefy hand on my shoulder.
"You think you're pretty smart, don't you? Think you can outsmart a hammer?"
I blinked in confusion.
"What?"
He yanked a hammer from off the shelf.
"Think fast."
He spun in a whirl and the hammer collided with my jaw. The immense pain lifted me off my feet and I fell hard onto my back and skull. I tried to scream for help, but my jaw refused to close. That son of a bitch had broken it. I knew I had to get up, get on my feet, and get the hell out of there. But I was a prisoner in my own body. I silently shouted at my body to move, but it refused to listen. The man dropped the hammer beside me, and I sagged in relief, thinking it was over. Instead, the man opened several packages, tearing through the plastic with his bare hands. I couldn't make out the first items, its packing too damaged, but the second box was in a slightly better condition. Staples. He hunkered beside me and showed me the stapler gun, clicking it twice so two staples landed on my forehead.
"Let's see how you like it when someone makes you wear a mask."
I squirmed, but he grabbed hold of my jaw. The pain shot through my body, paralyzing me in place, until a new pain erupted near my ear and in my throat. Hot blood ran down my face as he forced my face to the other side, stapling the mask straps onto my face. Then he wrenched my jaw shut, stapling my lips closed.
"What? No fancy words now?"
He wiped his hands and picked up the hammer.
"Round two."
I braced myself and closed my eyes. Noise erupted around me and I was sure the man was bashing my head in, the pain too intense to register. But the hammer clattered to the ground again and when I opened my eyes, I saw a demolished tile beside me. The man turned away and picked something off the shelf.
"Huh, here they are."
Then turned and walked away. I passed out as the man paid for the screws and I wasn't found until a half hour later. I was rushed to the hospital where they removed the staples and wired my jaw shut. The whole thing was caught on camera, and he was quickly apprehended. The worst of the pandemic is over, but I still wear my mask.
My coworkers think it's a sign of defiance against the man who assaulted me, but they're wrong. It's to hide my scars.